AM on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
Winter in Kingston can be unpredictable, but a little preparation can help keep your home safe and your utilities running smoothly. If you live in a house, be mindful of where you shovel snow. Keep fire hydrants visible so emergency crews can access them quickly. Avoid piling snow against gas meters or outdoor vents, as blocked vents can lead to dangerous carbon monoxide buildup. Be prepared for power outages. Keep flashlights and batteries handy, charge your devices in advance, and never use propane stoves, barbecues, or generators indoors. They can produce deadly carbon monoxide. And remember, our crews work in all kinds of weather to keep your utilities running. Help keep them safe by slowing down near work zones and giving them space to do their job. For more winter safety tips, visit utilitieskingston.com. Stay safe and stay prepared.
Hey, we're All Black Era.
And you're listening to
CFRC Radio in Kingston, Canada.
The Office of VP Research offers undergraduate students meaningful opportunities to engage in discovery-based learning and to develop research and presentation skills through their Undergraduate Student Summer Research Fellowship and the Undergraduate Student Research Award. Do you self-identify as a Black or Indigenous person? There are allocated funds through the USRA to help address the disproportionate underfunding of Black and Indigenous scholars at the undergraduate level. All projects are paid full-time work under the guidance of a faculty researcher and run from May through August. Application intake and deadlines are set by each department, so contact your department supervisor today. Application intake and deadlines are set by each department, so contact your department or supervisor today. Access the website to learn more, queensu.ca/VPR/resources/undergraduate. For general inquiries, contact Tracy Allen at allent@queensu.ca.
Hi, I'm Evelyn.
I'm Naomi.
And I'm Jory.
We are Pink Snail, and you're listening to 101.9 CFRC Radio.
The mood.
The mood.
The mood.
The mood.
The mood.
The mood.
With me.
On radio.
CFRC.
The best radio station we've ever heard.
And good morning. You are tuned into CFRC 101.9 FM. 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca for those of you listening in through the web. We are located in the lower level of Carruthers Hall on the beautiful Queen's campus. My name is May, and you are now listening to The Mood with May. For some reason, none of my things are working right now, so I'm going to try and sort that out, and hopefully we can proceed as per usual. But for today, we are going to be doing, I guess for the rest of the month, we are going to be doing women in music, but different angles. So today we are going to be talking not only about female rage, but also revolutionaries, both in music and just women as revolutionaries in their own right. This might be a biased opinion because I'm a woman, but I do believe that women lead a lot of the change that happens in and around the world. And I think that's just by nature of the fact that we've been so oppressed throughout history, not only in, English speaking cultures, but across the world and a lot of societies, both modern and more, I guess, ancient or historical, are very patriarchal. And that has been not only a challenge for women to even be taken seriously, even on matters of their own health, well-being, mental health, et cetera, but it's also been a challenge to push change in society because, women are often the people that are, I guess, intuitive about certain things and then ignored because our opinions are perceived as lesser than, or there's been a lot of discourse in history of, well, how could a woman make any statement or assumption on this situation because there's a perceived lack of understanding or education, even though scientifically it's been proven that women are more perceptive and have stronger intuition and all of these things. That being said, today we are going to be focusing on female rage, and I've done this episode many a time over the years, and I wanted to take a bit of a different angle on it because I feel like I don't know. I love listening to Fiona Apple, and she is on here, Do Not Fret. However, I wanted to look at more of a revolutionary perspective, not only from like artists who were active in a revolutionary sense, but also artists who kind of created revolution in their own sense. So women that were sort of spearheading in the music industry or within their genre, looking at women who are speaking about different experiences that either them or other women in their family or their family in general have gone through, and shining a light on that. And I think that's really important because women are also seen as storytellers. And I don't think that's wrong. I think that we have passed down narratives from generation to generation. Like, there's so many things that I know about my family because my grandmother told me and her grandmother told her, and it's like, it kind of becomes that we're the record keepers. But then at the same time, you have that balance of, well, nobody listens to us. And like, it gets to a point where, you know, you see women, often women of color and women of marginalized groups, leading that change. And I mean, I guess this is a more modern day, maybe kind of dramatized example, but when Trump was elected, we saw that one of the demographics that were very starkly against him and voted against his party was Black women. So shout out to Black women, love you. but I don't know, like, I think especially like there's a sense of complicity at times from white women because they don't face the oppression of like being a marginalized group through like racialization or through their culture. So they kind of become complicit with the cycle of oppression. And I think that's something to also be said. And obviously that's not representative of everyone, but I think it's important to know that even if you are a white woman, you have a perceived, an inherent sense of privilege because you're part of this community that holds a lot of the power in society, kind of through force and through colonization and through all of these different like functions that have ultimately resulted in where we are. So I did want to highlight non-white voices today as well, and I wish I had more examples because a lot of the music that I want to play is explicit and I can't play it, so I'm kind of falling back on some music that I know and I'm very familiar with. But today we are going to start it off with one of my favorite artists, and I've played her on air quite a few times. I was kind of torn between playing the song that I'm going to play today and Strange Fruit. So for those of you who don't know, this is Nina Simone. She wrote Strange Fruit about her experience seeing, you know, Black people being lynched, essentially, and kind of like swinging from the trees and observing this and writing about it so poetically, but in such a powerful way. And that's a song that, like, it resonates with you. And I never really fully comprehended, I don't know if that's the correct past participle, but I never fully understood, I guess, what the song meant until, you know, much later in life when I became cognizant of what she was saying and like the power of poeticism. But this song is a little bit more to the point. It's called Revolution, parts 1 and 2. This is off of the compilation Forever Young, Gifted and Black, Songs of Freedom and Spirit, which honestly, all of these songs are beautiful. Everything by Nina is beautiful. She has a lovely voice, and she's been quite vocal about previously has been vocal about her experience as being not only a Black woman, but a Black woman in the music industry, which is predominantly white, predominantly male, especially at the time that she was up and coming. And she did really help pave the way for a lot of other, not only Black artists, but female artists. And I think that is a revolution in and of itself, even if, you know, like, I mean, there's only so much that you can participate in a revolution, but I really do believe that, like, she did her part and she was active in that area where she needed to be. And then after that, we have Sinead O'Connor. This felt right because it's the day after St. Patrick's Day, but Sinead O'Connor has been very, very outspoken previously. She was very vehemently against the Catholic Church and the oppressive systems that they use, not only on women, but also just in general. Their control within the government, their control within media. And she also spoke out a lot about a lot of issues. Specifically, she spoke out, like, she made a song about the famine in Ireland. The thing about the famine in Ireland is that there never really was one, because it was a manufactured famine. It was a control point by the English in order to weaken the Irish, and in order to essentially try and colonize them and make them more pliable to English colonization, and try to strip them of their language was one of the things, but also, like, taking their food that they're growing. And, like, everybody has been talking, I mean, maybe not everybody, but a lot of the people that I know talk about the fact that, yes, maybe the potato crop failed, but all of their other crops and all of their other food sources were essentially being put on ships and sent over to the English in the UK. So, unfortunately, that's not something that really gets highlighted in education and in schools. And I think I'm a big advocate for education, but I'm also a big advocate for understanding where it might fail and where you might have to pick up the slack and say, okay, I learned about this thing in whatever history class in elementary school or history class in high school or whatever other course, and say, okay, I want to know, like, another perspective on that. And I think that's one thing that I really appreciate from a lot of my teachers in high school, is they always told us to be not, like, cognizant, but also be suspicious. Like, don't ever take anything that somebody is telling you at face value. Always do your own research. Always look for other perspectives. And something that, I don't know if this is, like, a famous quote, I know that I hear it a lot, but the victors are the ones that write the history books. So when you're reading some sort of, like, written work about, or an official written work about a war, a conflict, a time in history, it's written by the person who won and who had the resources to create that history. So it completely ignores another perspective. So I think one of the things that at my high school, and even, like, later in elementary school, teachers in history and, like, sociology and all of this stuff taught us, was to look for primary sources, and to also just question the history books, which I think is not a standard practice, and I really appreciate that they told us to do that, because it made me more curious to understand a situation from different angles and look at things and say, okay, this is what they're telling us, but what are they not telling us, or what perspectives aren't being represented here. So that being said, I'm not playing Famine today because I think I played it last year, but I am playing Mandika, which is an equally lovely song. It's off of Lion and the Cobra from 1987, and I love Sinead O'Connor. And then finally, we are going to be finishing it off with another pioneer in her own right, Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth. This is off of her new album from 5 days ago, March 13th, called Not Today. The album is called Play Me. And Kim Gordon, I read her book Girl in a Band last summer, the summer before, which kind of talked about being a woman in the industry, being a woman in the underground, like, alt rock experimental scene in the 80s, 90s. And the way that you kind of are expected to just be complacent and allow yourself to be taken advantage of and just suppress yourself and not be vocal in the studio, not be vocal in any sense, which doesn't really make sense because the music you're making is inherently expressing yourself. And even then, labels trying to push you into a box, which is especially true for women because women are seen as only marketable when they are contributing in a way that fits with society's narrative of what a woman should look like. So you're not supposed to be violent. You're not supposed to be loud. You're not supposed to be angry. You're not supposed to be any of these things that are not seen as traditional feminine traits. And I think Kim Gordon has spoken out a lot about that, not only in her music and through Sonic Youth and through her solo career, but also through her book, through interviews, through like whatever means possible. And I think that's really important because it allows younger women who are trying to emerge on the rock and alternative scenes that they can have a voice and they can fight for themselves and they can be an advocate for themselves, and they don't need a man, or they don't need to make up a manager to pretend to like converse with these labels and these representatives, because you have power, and it's kind of just about like pushing yourself into spaces and making yourself be heard and making yourself be known. Anyhow, I've been talking for way too long. So we're going to hear from Nina Simone with Revolution Parts 1 and 2 to start us off. I hope you enjoy, and there'll be some different stuff later in that half hour, in the hours. So without further ado, here is the lovely Nina Simone.
Of all the evil that will have to end. I know.
And oh my God, and welcome back. You just finished listening to Kim Gordon with Not Today. Before that, we had Mandika by Sinead O'Connor. And at the very top of that set to kick us off, we had Nina Simone with Revolution Parts 1 and 2. Today, first of all, this is The Mood with May on CFRC 101.9 FM. Today, we are going through, female rage, but through the lens of revolutionaries, and not always rage, but more just like, I don't know. It makes sense in my head. I don't really know how to express it by words, but I'm going to let the music speak for itself because I've already spoken for 14 minutes, which is a lot of time. The next song that we have coming up is from a Montreal group or duo, I believe, called DVTR. This is kind of like punk rock, a little bit hardcore. This song I just really love. It's been floating around for me for a little while. It's called Vasectomia. So I'm sure you could, I guess, take away what that means. And then after that, we have Aman Al-Ali with Fame and Fortune. Now, this is an artist that I've played previously. I can't remember which show I played her on, but she is of the Iranian diaspora. And this song is her newest song. It talks about female ambition. She's Saudi Iranian. It explores female desire and ambition in the creative world, and can read as a critique of celebrity culture, talking about the blurred lines between a performer's identity and their public persona. But it also reveals the struggles that women face in the creative industry, highlighting the pressures of objectification that they navigate under public scrutiny. Not only do I think it's important to highlight this because it's just like an everyday struggle that not only women in the industry face, but women in general, having to present themselves a certain way and act a certain way and appear a certain way and constantly worrying about all of these things because, you know, they can't be perceived as, I don't know, like hysteric. They can't be perceived as too emotional because then people don't take them seriously, and you can't be perceived like you can't make a mistake, essentially. You always have to be on in the public eye, whether that's walking to the bar. You have to look and carry yourself a certain way so that you don't feel that you're going to become a target. And unfortunately, that's just a reality for every woman, but especially women who are in public facing positions, whether it's a musician, an actor, whatever you might be in. But I know Chapel Roan has also been very publicly open about her experiences with those same issues. And then after that, we have Soft Cult, which is a lovely Canadian group as well. This is off of their newest album, When a Flower Doesn't Grow. Now, Soft Cult is, I believe they call themselves Riot Gaze, or like Mall Goth, Riot Girl, Grunge Gaze adjacent. It is a sibling duo, and they talk a lot about issues regarding women and gender rights, but this song specifically, called 1625, explores the relationship between men who try to date younger women and exploit younger women and exert power over younger women. And this is something that's very common. I actually have a friend who's not my friend anymore, but in high school, she started dating this person in their 20s, and she's still with him. And that's just so strange to me. As somebody who is now in their 20s, I don't look at 16-year-olds and go, I would love to be with that person romantically. But that's something that's so normalized. I think it's becoming less normalized, thankfully, but it's so normalized, especially as a 16-year-old girl. you're like, oh, this 20-something-year-old man wants me, or God forbid, 30-year-old, 40-year-old, whatever. Like, that is a power dynamic that can never be changed. And I think, obviously, as you get older, age difference doesn't make that much of a difference. Like, if you're in your 40s and you're dating somebody in your 50s, like, you have relative life experiences. Like, you can both approach that with the same understanding and nuance. But when you're 16, you're in high school, you've never really experienced the world. Your world is very structured and laid out for you. And, you know, there are many things that you can experience in high school, both good and bad. But ultimately, somebody who is, I mean, in this song, 9 years older than you, when you're still like in a very developmental stage of your life, and this is somebody who is like graduated university, kind of like not fully realized as an adult, but like is an adult legally, and by every other means. I don't know. I think it's something that is normalized. It's also romanticized a lot. I think a lot of people are exposed to age gap relationships very early on in their life, and there's always like that trope of like, oh, like the person in like junior high is like hitting on a high school senior, or not hitting on them, but like yearning for this high school senior, and this like sense of like, I don't know, achievement of being noticed by this older person, and that it's kind of been romanticized so that we don't question it. And when we do, it's like, well, it's almost like you're taking something away from that woman, and it's just this weird patriarchal framework that we work within. Anyhow, this song explores that, and I can definitely relate to it from a third party perspective, thankfully not in my own experience. But if you're listening to this and you're 16 and a 25-year-old man is hitting on you, run from that man. Do not talk to that man. That is weird. And then finally, we are going to finish it off with another Canadian group out of Montreal called The Soreheads. This is off of their 2025 EP called I'm Not Your Doll. I don't know how many of those words I can say. This is one of two non-explicit tracks on the EP, but if you're into Riot Girl and like female punk adjacent genres, I recommend you listen to it. It's quite good. It's only 6 songs, 15 minutes. We're going to be listening to 3 strikes off of that. So without further ado, here is DVTR with Vasectomia on CFRC 101.9 FM. This has been The Mood with May.
Fais du party, arcade. Fais du party, arcade.
And that was Three Strikes by The Soreheads. Before that, we had Soft Cult with 1625. Before that, Aman Al-Ali with Fame and Fortune, and DVTR with Vasectomia, right here on The Mood with May, CFRC 101.9 FM. We're going to get into our last few songs of the hour. I've been yapping way too much, so I might have to cut some stuff out. But we have been centering on female rage, female revolutionaries. I think that every woman who actually actively tries to be a revolutionary has the capacity to be a revolutionary, because inherently our presence is revolutionary. Not revolutionary, but our presence and our active participation in the world is a form of rebellion, because if the patriarchy were to have its way, women would still be in the home and uneducated and ignored and even more oppressed than we are right now. And, you know, we're facing very scary times. And I've talked about this on previous shows, either specific to women's rights or not. But we're seeing rights not only of us as women in general, but of other marginalized and oppressed groups being stripped away actively as we speak. And I think that the sentiment is that nobody is free until everybody is free, but I think that's genuinely true. We can't exist in a free world. We can't exist, in a world where everything is just and fair if things are just and fair for everybody. And that includes the war in Palestine, the genocide of the Palestinian people. It includes what's happening in Iran and Sudan and all of these places where not only women are being oppressed and not only LGBTQ communities, not only different like minority religious groups, but also just people are being oppressed by people of other nations. And I think it's very, very important that we keep an ear to the ground and we keep an eye out for the little guys that are, whether they're, you know, the journalists that are trying their very best to continue reporting on things when they're actively under siege, or if it's, you know, a woman that's talking about things that certain government and high-powering people in the U.S. are doing behind closed doors and on islands of sorts. I think it's really important that we not only listen to those people, but we listen to them attentively and we take those stories and we catalog them and we publicize them and we make it be known. But that can only be done if everybody takes a hand and takes a part to not only uplift those voices, but allow them to exist and not push them down further. And I think that as a white woman, and I talked about this earlier in the hour, generally we're quite complicit with certain acts, and it's kind of like, oh, it's not going to be us, it's only them. And the us versus them mentality is very, very scary when you're fighting a war on all fronts. So that being said, this is your call to action, is go and read some independent journalism, go and educate yourself. Don't trust what the major publications are saying. Don't trust what your politicians are feeding you. And be a revolutionary in your own right. Be a rebel in your own right. Your existence is rebellion. So we are going to get into the last few tracks of the hour. We are going to kick it off with a track that I don't know how to pronounce, and I'm so sorry, but it's SMA3, which is like English shorthand for, I believe, an Arabic title by Takbir. This is off of their EP, self-titled, in 2021. Takbir is a punk group, and they talk a lot not only about like women's rights but also like cultural movements, and I thought it was really important to highlight certain non-English artists as well. I believe they're from Morocco, and they're against religious institutions, patriarchy, and oppression. This is a great track, so I hope you enjoy that. After that, we have Melissa Ofdemar with Real A Lie, and at the very end of today, we have Jay Lee Wolf with Child of the Government, which talks about the 60s, oh my god, which talks about the 60s scoop and indigenous children and her experience with that as a woman and like her family's lineage. So without further ado, here is Talk Beer with SMA3 on CFRC 101.9 FM. This has been The Mood with May, your daily dose of revolution, I guess.
Yeah. child of the broken.